welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you this week relatively on time.
More so than the past few, at least.
Yeah, more so. I mean, okay, look, we never actually said what time we're uploading by, just sometime on Monday. So technically we'll be on time. But yes, this will be the first week in a while where actually have met that very lofty goal of being somewhere within the 24-hour span of the day. I know, but yeah, we've had a lot going on, and we have a lot going on right now that we're going to be getting into in just a minute. But definitely, please, if you don't think this particular episode is what you want, or if you just want more stuff, check out what we do at HauntWeekly.com. HauntWeekly on Twitter, I mean X, whatever. HauntWeekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/HauntWeekly's YouTube channel. An easy way to access the entire archive of episodes. All 438 of them, as of this one. You can also check us out wherever you can get your podcast from. We pay someone else to handle distribution, so I don't have to think about where we are and are not. We're just there. Well, first things first, we have some household news.
Yes.
That's fairly significant. We've actually known for a little bit now about this, but now we can talk about it publicly and openly.
So we are going to be step-grandparents.
Yes.
Ellie's son and his wife are due to have their first baby around the beginning of November.
And I have informed the mother that she needs to hold that baby in through October.
Yes.
With everything she has.
Yes, yes, you have. And they understand that.
If that baby comes out in October, it's going to be born an orphan.
Okay, no, that's not true. No,
no, not
it,
true,
it is not.
It is not true. But no, but seriously, yeah, this is a lot.
It is. It does mean that we may be taking more trips up to the St. Louis area.
Yeah.
So
probably closer to November, late November, December.
And over the next, like, 18 years, assuming.
At some point, the kid doesn't need us.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. No, I mean, obviously, we're going to be making more trips to St. Louis. So, yeah, I don't know what this is really going to do to, like, our schedule come November. But, yeah, it's a lot.
Yes.
What are you thinking? Sorry.
I was just going to ask a question of the audience.
Oh.
That isn't the question of the week.
Yes.
But if you have some ideas for some interesting, spooky-related grandparent names, I am still looking for mine. Everybody else has theirs. I haven't found that perfect one yet. So, if you've got something, send it to me.
Yeah, and it's kind of, but the thing that's been weird for me, I guess part of it, is that we've known for a while now.
A little bit, yeah.
And they wanted to get past some certain milestones before they announced. And so now we can talk about it publicly in front of everyone. And it's just kind of weird. Oh, yeah. We never mentioned that previously. My brain is like, of course we've talked about this. I've known for like a month now. But yeah, no, the parents had very good reason for wanting to hold back on the public announcement. Total respect for that. But yeah, now we can talk about it freely. We will be step-grandparents, hopefully after Halloween.
Yes.
And like anytime November 1st on is fine.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but they're fully aware that baby has to stay inside in October.
Anyway, we should move on.
We probably should. But yes, we need ideas for your grandparent name. And we also need haunter ideas for babies in general.
Yeah.
What are some baby-appropriate things that haunters can do? Because we have no fucking clue. We never had kids.
Yeah, and what have you done if you have kids or
grandkids?
What are some of the fun toys and things that are a little more on the spooky side?
Yeah, and what, like, gifts and things, like, give a little bit of the haunted house vibe, but still baby appropriate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. We obviously want to be, like, baby appropriate. But then again, it's a baby. Anything's technically appropriate. They're not going to be repeating things for, like, a couple of years.
They shouldn't be able to read for a few years. Anyway.
But no, genuinely, it is an exciting time around here, finally being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's the weird bit for me, I guess. But yeah, definitely happy. Let us know. So once again, Crystal, grandparent name, and haunt-ish stuff for babbies.
Yes.
That's what we need. So please let us know those things. HauntWeekly.com, HauntWeekly on Twitter, /X, HauntWeekly on Facebook, and YouTube.com/HauntWeekly. Please do let us know those things. So that's our first question of the week.
Perhaps isn't really a question of the week because it won't be posted. If you aren't listening, you're not going to know about it.
Yeah. So, but every week we do try to ask a question a week, or at least most weeks.
Yeah.
And last week we asked, which we were talking about the McCamey Manor lawsuits.
Right.
We asked, what is your biggest legal fear for the haunt? And and you said made ourselves sad.
Yes, I did. Well, it made me sad. I don't know about you, but looking at all the fears, I didn't have enough existential dread in my life.
Well, Daniel Barnett said, sudden and costly building code changes, rezoning or eminent domain, and sudden changes to the lease agreement. Yeah, that's a good one that I didn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has actually happened to a lot of haunts. We talked about that haunt, they got eminent domained, or they tried to eminent domain.
There's been three or four in the past couple of years that have made it to news big enough for us to know about it.
Yeah, because they got eminent domained or something changed. And then we had that one haunt that didn't get a zoning permit and then opened anyway, and that didn't go well.
No, because then they were shut down.
They were shut down hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I feel you, dude.
Yeah, well, the only reason we know that they didn't have a zoning permit was because that's one of the ones that there was a shooting at that year.
Yeah.
And we looked into them. Okay, going on, though.
Move on.
Chris Gaze said, an unavoidable trip and fall lawsuit. We have had a couple of people fall and get scruffed up, but unprovoked on the level, unobstructed sidewalk from the parking lot. Just never know.
You know, luckily, at least here in Louisiana, because when you worked with an attorney, these types of lawsuits would walk in the door all the time, and they'd walk right the fuck back out.
Yeah.
Because winning a slip and fall lawsuit is incredibly difficult, at least here. I don't know about everywhere.
Yeah, but here you have to be able to prove negligence on the part of the owner. Like if there's a spill in an aisle in a grocery store, this is what my former boss taught me, is that you have to be able to prove that the management was alerted on at least twice and nobody cleaned it up or put out a sign, and the sign wasn't just moved before they'll even look at the case.
Yeah, and they had to have waited like over 25 minutes or something, 30 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was, there was a time element.
Even if
too.
All that shit happened, proving it happened is fucking impossible.
Yeah.
So I don't know about where you are, but yeah, we've, like I said, lawyer that heard a lot of these proposed cases and I think took exactly zero.
Yes.
All right. Victor Ruella says, I live in Sioux Happy, California. Try Louisiana. Every year I worry someone will get hurt or they'll claim PTSD to get that paycheck. For now, my love of the season doesn't stop me, but may shut down my walkthrough and settle for the yard display only. You know, I know California has a reputation for being Sioux happy, but I think Louisiana may have it beat. Because that's why our auto insurance rates are so ridiculous in the city.
Yeah.
In this area. It's because we have a culture of lawsuits, and that's something that's been commented on by lawyers. It's just a culture thing here, and I don't understand. But yeah, California isn't exactly, you know what I mean? It doesn't have that, it has a pretty good reputation too in that area, I gotta admit.
It does. Yeah. Lots more people commented, customer injury stories.
Yeah, basically, there was a whole group of people who I'm not gonna call it by name because they all said the same thing, that someone gets hurt.
Yep.
And yeah, they're not wrong. That's, like I said, that was my biggest fear, is someone getting injured. And then Body Geeks on YouTube, proof we do read the YouTube comments, by the way.
Yes.
Biggest legal fear is that insurance randomly decides not to issue coverage and closes us down, like what happened to a couple other haunts. Most notably in our circles is Fear Fair.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and this is another fine point. What happened with Fear Fair was they had a rock climbing wall. Someone snuck past security, climbed it, fell, and got hurt. And even though the case is likely to go nowhere, now they couldn't get insurance.
Yeah, their insurance just decided to pull them because there is no guarantee that your insurance company will keep you, you know?
Yeah. And you see, and that's one of the things. Like, when we were setting up the yarn store, one of the things we had to do was get insurance for it.
Yes.
But insurance for a yarn store is easy.
Yeah.
There's a bajillion places that'll do it. It's something like $19 a month. It's barely even there.
Yeah.
And it's whatever the legal policy was for opening where we opened. And it was so easy. And I'm like, man, I wish haunted attractions could be like this. But we can't. All right. Well, on that note, everyone, it is time to... Oh, sorry. The next week's question of the week.
Yes. Since
we are talking about Shadowcast this week. I haven't talked about the topic.
Yeah, I know.
How the fuck did I pull that one off? Anyways,
So we know most people, if they're aware of Shadowcast, it's been because they've seen it with Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
So what is your... What movie have you seen with a Shadowcast?
Like,
or would you like to see that is not Rocky Horror? Because that's the big one. That's one of the originals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want to know from you.
Yes, indeed. So on that note, we will slide into conference reminders very elegantly, I assure you.
Yeah. You're saying that because I added one last week and then forgot to update it.
Yeah, we forgot to update it, but I think I've got it. So hang on, let me get back to the conference reminders. So you go first. You're the
All right.
You go first.
East Coast Haunters Convention's going to be April 25th through the 28th at Oak City, Pennsylvania, the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. Friday is a haunt tour featuring Eastern St. Penn, Bates Motel, and Pennhurst Asylum. Otherworld Party on Saturday, put on by the Transworld people. EastCoastHauntersConvention.com for more info.
Okay. After that, it's Spooky Swap Meet from April 26th through the 28th in Los Angeles, California at the Heritage Square Museum. Great place to purchase those gently loved items. Gently loved items. Includes costumes, decor, props, and more. Created by the co-founder of Midsummer Scream, SpookySwapMeet.com for more information.
Yes, and I have seen pictures being posted by some of our listeners about what they're going to be selling, and it looks like a lot of fun. We would love to go if we were in the area. All right, halfway to Halloween Expo, May 11th is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It will be at the Washtenaw Farm Council grounds. 140 vendors, food trucks, Hearst Show. Halfway to HalloweenMI.com for more info.
Okay. Next this week, we have our first international one. So,
yes.
Meaning, watch Jonathan fuck up every pronunciation. This is gonna be a total train wreck.
Okay, except for it is in a country where it's phonetically spelled.
Yes, okay. But coming Saturday, May 18th, it's Scare Event in Sweet Baby Jesus, Hellendoom, Netherlands.
Yes.
It's at Adventure Park Hellendoom. So, yes. They will be handing out the Scare Awards. A feature, a local haunter will be doing speaking engagements. Get more details on the event at scareevent.nl. It's like the Netherlands domain. Scareevent.nl, not .com. I almost said .com. It's .com. I just love we both kicked right into Homestar Runner there. We have a beautiful relationship. That's how I know.
That's how old it is.
Oh my God. That was our formative couple culture, wasn't
yeah.
it? Oh, Jesus Christ, we're old.
And I think we should end it there because the next two are on the same day. So we'll just go back to the topic.
All right. That sounds good. Basically... Last night, we were out way too fucking late.
Yeah, but it wasn't our fault.
No, it was
not. Not entirely.
We misconstrued the time of the event. What we thought was the start time ended up being door time.
Yeah.
And the actual event didn't start for 90 minutes after door time.
Yeah, that was a thing that happens.
So, anyways, we went to see a Shadowcast of Repo, the Genetic Opera. And to put this in some degree of context, we are in this house are huge fans of Repo. All of us for different reasons. And in fact, this episode right now is being recorded under two framed posters that were used on camera in the film.
Yes.
We just got those up this weekend. That was one of our big projects this weekend, was getting basically my entire office wall redone.
Yes. Yes, it is a Repo wall now. It is nothing else.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, I've got the Joan Jetson poster. That technically goes with the Repo stuff.
It does.
So I'm thinking about moving that one up.
Anyway, that doesn't matter.
But anyways, we're huge fans of Repo the Genetic Opera, so of course we were going to go see the shadow cast of it when they announced it. And of course it didn't start until midnight, and even though it's a short film, thank God for small miracles. Mm-hmm. yeah, we still weren't out of there until like damn near 2.
Yeah, and we're old.
We're old.
At one point that wouldn't have bothered us.
Oh God, no, like 20 years ago.
Not even that
long. We'd have been up and gone to an 8 a.m. class.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're going back to class times, then yeah, it's over 20 years. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. We had seen it before with this troupe. They always do an amazing job. And
they always change it up a little bit each time, too, which I noticed.
Yeah, they do. They change out actors and things, which is something you'll see a lot with Shadowcast.
Yeah. If you follow any Shadowcast troupe around, you'll find very quickly no two performances are the same. That's one of the good things. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about it. It makes it so that you can do this monthly.
Yes.
Make this recurring. And it actually works. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But basically, we are, in addition to Repo, though, we're, of course, huge fans of Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen Rocky Horror with Shadowcast probably... Wow.
We've been to over 100 showings of different things with Shadowcast.
Yeah.
Always Rocky Horror.
I think I would say like a significant majority were Rocky Horror, though.
80%. Yeah.
And part of that is because like the whole idea of Shadowcasting other things is still kind of taking off. Mm-hmm. We saw Shock Treatment, which was the follow-up sequel
to Rocky Horror, and it was done as a double feature.
Yeah.
We saw them back to back. And one of those, there's a reason you don't see it very often with Shadowcast or at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, people don't realize Rocky Horror is a long movie.
Yeah.
Like, Repo is 1 hour, 17 minutes. I think Rocky Horror is approaching 2 hours. It's a much longer film. And then to add Shock Treatment to the end of it, that was a long fucking night.
Yeah.
And I saw Shock Treatment once. I don't think I'm going to see it again. I'll go see Rocky Horror again, though. I enjoy that, of course. Yeah, it just did not compete with the original in any way, shape, or form. Sorry, Richard O'Brien, if you're listening, but I don't think I'm saying something you didn't already know on some levels here.
Yeah.
Now, one that was fun was the double billing of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog with the Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Once More with Feeling.
Yes.
Which, honestly, why you don't pair Once More with Feeling with a Repo, that makes sense to me, because you get Daddy Giles in both.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that does make a lot of sense, and whenever I was writing this up, I was like, yeah, we could have seen both of the things he's been in as a musical.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a musical. That would be fun. Yeah, well, apparently Once More with Feeling is one of the reasons Repo happened.
Yeah.
Because they saw that, holy shit, you know, he can sing. Anthony Head can sing. And they did it. So basically, yeah, we've been a big fan of Shadowcast for a long time, and we've never actually discussed it, and we've never actually looked at it and examined it as something that haunters might want to do, either for themselves, to work on their talents and skills, but also as something to go to and enjoy and keep the spirit of the season alive during the off months. Because if you live in a reasonably populous area, I will almost guarantee you there's a monthly Rocky Horror Shadowcast somewhere. Especially if you've got universities around.
Yeah, and if not, then look for pop-ups in October.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that that's hard for us to get to, but occasionally it'll be during the middle of the week, and that might work out.
Yeah, sometimes it does work out. They don't all happen on Halloween, basically.
Yeah, we actually heard about on the Wednesday before Halloween this year, they're working on a Devil's Rejects.
Yeah,
Shadowcast.
Which I have to go back and I thought it was House of a Thousand Corpses.
Maybe it was. I don't know. I would have preferred Rob
Devil's Rejects. I really love Devil's Rejects. I'm not a fan of House of a Thousand Corpses.
Okay.
What?
Hot takes by Jonathan.
Well, I mean, it's just true. I was not that blown away. I mean, okay. Dracula 2000 and House of a Thousand Corpses are my two picks for bad movies with amazingly good soundtracks.
I could see that.
Oh, and also the first Mortal Kombat film. Three movies. I have no interest in seeing the movie again, but I have the soundtrack available over on the shelf over here. They are great soundtracks, and I will die on this hill. But no, they're my picks.
Yeah.
But apparently House of a Thousand Corpses has gotten a cult audience, and maybe I need to see it again. Maybe I'll appreciate it more now with the wisdom I have gained in my years of life since.
Yeah.
Doubtful. Doubtful.
Yeah, I know.
But so anyways, we're going to talk about shadow casting in general and ideas for how haunters and haunts can exploit this.
Yeah, and we're going to start off with what is a shadow cast? Because there are still people I meet who don't know what the concept is.
There were people at the show last night that were unfamiliar with it.
Yeah.
Which blew my fucking mind, honestly.
Exactly.
So we're going to start very basic, because that kind of shook me, seeing some people who are like, what's a shadow cast? Jesus Christ. Like, why did you come to it?
We're not just seeing the movie. We have to hear people talk over it. What the fuck's going on?
I'm not talking over it. I'm talking over it.
Yeah,
no. It's my job. No. But a shadow cast is basically when a movie is screened, but actors on stage or in front of the screen are acting it out or pantomiming it usually. They're usually not speaking or singing. They're more pantomiming it. But in an exaggerated / comedic manner. One of the fun things to see is how the shadow cast deals with things that obviously you can't do on a stage.
Right.
One of the things like Rocky Horror, the scene where they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen some very creative ways to do the windshield wipers and so forth in front of Brad and Janet.
That is very true.
And we've seen some very interesting ways. Also, the tank that Rocky himself emerges from is always interesting to see how they handle that.
Right. There was a time there that I got obsessed with how to build a better tank because our local shadow cast for it did a great job. But the colors weren't as vibrant. And I was like, I bet I could figure that out.
Oh, you could.
Yeah. But I dropped that.
Yeah. You'd have to make it folding and collapsible, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because everything has to be, like, super portable and light.
Yeah, and you can't just... That is one of the things you've got to note is that... And we'll get into more about the props that they make in a minute.
Yeah.
But...
It's done with a tiny budget.
Yeah, tiny budget. These are small productions. They're usually maybe 20 people max.
Yeah. I counted at the Repo performance, and this was a large shadow cast. It had 13 people.
Yeah.
Usually, I think a shadow cast tops out at around 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like with Rocky Horror, I think you only need 6 plus some Transylvanians.
Yeah, so 10 to 15. And the Transylvanians also fill in as... You know,
other things,
regular background carriers and characters, and as stagecraft.
Yeah. So, yeah, and with Repo, they had the guards and then Genturns.
Yes.
As they're kind of their Transylvanians, but yeah, they had 13 people. That was a fairly large shadow cast, though.
Yeah, and the one person that kept getting killed, and I loved watching them die.
They were. I gotta give them credit, man.
Exactly.
Excellent,
right.
Excellent dyer. Wait, yeah. That's what you do. Excellent death artist.
Yes.
Great job. 10 out of 10, no notes. So yes, but small production with small budgets, and sometimes it has overlapping elements with burlesque or drag, but that depends more on the specific troupe.
Right, and don't expect people to be in, you know, a burlesque costume of the costume that's in the show. Don't expect to be able to... touch people, please don't. Yeah. Consent is very important in these things.
Yeah, and one thing that's also very common is gender swapped versions.
Yes.
Which is kind of hilarious in Rocky Horror, because like half the point of Rocky Horror is that gender is not really that much of a thing in this universe.
Yeah.
But still, they'll do gender swaps of the movie and so forth too. And also, I know, like, one of the troops we have here, I think it was the one we were watching, will sometimes do roles from a hat. Mm-hmm. Where they will literally decide who plays what role on the spot right before they start.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could be normally, you know, Eddie slash Dr. Scott and draw Frankenfurter, and well, gonna be a long night for you.
Right, and you'll also see that people pull double duty.
Yep.
Like last night, there was someone playing the grave robber, and
no, it was Blind Mag and
And Blind Mag.
Oh, that's right. It was. She was playing both. You're right. But yeah, the main thing is small production, elements of burlesque, but that is oftentimes up to the exact troupe in terms of what they do in that area. But the skills the groups need.
Yeah, so they've got to be able to design a set that looks, that basically any scene in a movie, you can pick out something that catches your eye. It's part of the background. You've got to be able to make that and put it on stage. So in Rocky Horror, it's also often the grandfather clock, the sign,
enter at your own risk sign.
Enter at your own risk sign, things like that. For Rocky, it was the bones a lot.
Yep.
There were lots of bones. I can't remember Rambo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't do a lot of the props. They had the piano there.
Yeah, they did, which was great.
Which was very, very fortunate for them.
Yeah, and stuffed animals on top of it to represent Shiloh's room.
If y'all hadn't seen Repo, pause this episode now, because none of this shit's going to make sense to you.
Should have said that at the beginning.
It's 77 fucking minutes long. Just do it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, set design, safety, how to be safe.
Yeah, for both the actors and for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like something that's familiar.
Yep.
Costuming, makeup, promotion, acting, and they have to have a good grasp of the source material.
One thing that I found interesting is every shadow cast I've been connected with in any way, they all rely upon the actors and the cast members doing their practice and doing their work at home.
Yeah.
Because even though they do practice and they do rehearse, they don't have nearly enough time for that people can memorize their parts just while working there. Right. They have to go home. They have to go through the movie. They have to study the frame, study the beats. Mm-hmm. And once again, different groups will follow the movie different levels of closeness.
Yeah. And, you know, these are often also works of love, you know, the person putting it together was in love with a piece of art, with the film, and wanted to bring it to life and give it another dimension and expose it to other people, you know, other people to it.
Exactly.
Flip that, reverse it.
But yeah, and this really does have to come from love of it. There's no other, because some shadow casts do get paid,
yeah.
The amount you get paid does not justify amount of work.
It is much like running a home haunt.
Yeah. There's no goddamn way you can justify this from a money standpoint. So, yeah. Okay, so when a shadow cast performance is taking place, all the ones we've seen, begins with instructions and rules being handled in a fun way.
Yes.
And I think we've seen like 3 or 4 different Rocky Horror troupes.
Mm-hmm.
2 different troupes we've seen do Repo.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've seen a decent number of troops. They all start with the rules being told in some kind of fun way. Because rules suck, but they're important.
Yeah.
So they try to make, and this is something I think haunts could really learn from. Maybe not this exact technique.
Right.
But the idea of making the rules fun and engaging.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's done in a callback kind of way. You know, they'll say, this is the rule, say back the rule. And then the people will say back the rule.
Yeah.
And that makes it clear what the rules are and that everybody in the audience knows what they are because they just said them.
Yeah. And then they do exercises for warming up the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a Rocky Horror one, I don't know how this got started, but it seems like everyone starts with everybody turning around their seat, looking at the projectionist. And flipping them off and saying, now start the fucking flick.
Yeah.
Or some variation of that. I don't know how that got started, but I have now seen that in 2 time zones.
Yeah, and there are also rituals at a lot of these productions. There You know, there are chants that happen right at the start. There are rituals
that people do. If you are familiar with the Rocky Horror Virgin.
Yeah.
Initiation thing.
Yeah, which they've kind of gone away from now.
And I think they should, honestly. Yeah. Because it makes people nervous to go to their first one when already there's a lot of reason to be nervous.
Yeah, and because you're going to an experience that's immersive that you don't fully understand until you've experienced it.
Where the rules of going to a cinema do not apply.
Correct.
Not only are you not supposed to stay quiet during the film, you're supposed to yell and yell obscenities at it.
Yes. And if you see something funny, you say something funny, as one of the rules from last night.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, it's that type of thing where you're already in an unfamiliar environment. So, like, the Rocky Horror Virgin thing seems to be dying out. The last few times we've been, they didn't do it, or if they did it, it was severely limited.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing, because I never liked that part. My first Rocky Horror Picture Show was very, very tame in that aspect, because it was, like, the first time it had been done in that city in years. So, like, two-thirds of this packed theater. And you just can't do that much.
Exactly. And that is part of it with that one, especially, is that it is so popular that it's hard to do any kind of ritual that involves.
Yeah. Just one
first element. Timers. Yeah.
So anyways, but yeah, during the actual show, and as we've kind of gone into it a little bit, the idea is the Shadow Castle pantomime, the movie.
Yes.
Once again, various elements and styles on how close they'll do it, whether they'll exaggerate it. Whether they'll even make an effort to really be like the movie. Mm-hmm. There were a few times with the Repo one that they clearly just did not even try. Don't blame them, but they didn't. And so, yeah, you get a lot of that. But yeah. But basically, the crowd is also encouraged to do call-outs. Which, honestly, the best preparation for that is just watch a lot of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah. Yeah, there are also, if you're going to a Rocky show, because it is the most
common one, yeah.
Common one, there are lists online of call-outs.
Yes.
They also, some of the theaters will provide a prop bag, and inside of it are little toys, usually, that you throw at the stage at different points of the performance.
Or, as at one of the theaters, you throw into the crowd, actually.
Yeah.
You don't throw onto the stage. You're very specific about that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. The room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't put the room in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's one nailed with Shadow Cast a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Sorry, somebody brought a silver spoon.
Or a pewter spoon, but I couldn't tell what metal was, but it was heavy metal.
It was heavy metal.
Ah!
And they brought it, and it landed, I think, on your head.
No, it did not hit me, but it hit the chair in front of me and like landed on the ground at my feet, basically. It barely missed my head.
No.
I did not get hit by it, fortunately.
Everybody else was smart and brought, plastic spoons.
Which is what you're supposed to bring. and if you aren't familiar with the room, I don't have time to explain this one.
No.
Because that's an hour unto itself.
Yeah.
If you want to hear me rant about the room for an hour, just to let us know on weekly.com and all the other places. But that I could go on forever about that one.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, that's another one that often now has a shadow cast now, for very good reason. But yeah, follow the rules, listen to the guidelines, and in general, for most, don't throw anything that isn't from a prop bag.
Correct.
Because the items in the prop bag are specifically designed to be safe for people and property.
Yes, and also don't forget to bring tips for the cast members, and don't bring your own prop bag. Use the one provided and buy one. It's usually like $5.
Yeah, it's not much money usually, and those items, like I said, are selected to not damage people or property.
Yeah, and the other reason is that helps support the crew that's putting on the thing you're going to.
Yep.
And if you want them to keep doing that, then they need money.
There you go. Two valid reasons why you should buy the prop bags and exclusively use those.
Yes.
And yes, the shadow cast will oftentimes, once again, this depends heavily on the crew, but they will come into the audience, they will interact directly with the viewers, etc., and they will do that.
Yeah.
So basically, expect a lot of interactivity and engagement is really what we're getting at here. And that interactivity and engagement is why we started thinking about it in terms of haunts, actually.
Right.
Because this is one of those things that we've been talking about a fuck ton on this podcast, is the need to improve interactivity and engagement with customers, but how hard it is to do. And yet we go to this repo thing, and it is 110% engagement and, mm-hmm. and interactivity. It is the most interactive experience I've had in a very long fucking time.
And it's a lot of fun.
It is. I mean, even though, once again, I really wish I could have been in bed a little earlier. I'm fucking old, okay? I'm old.
Yes, and it was a Sunday night.
It was a school night.
I know.
Yeah, I woke up like a...
Anyway.
Fucking train wreck, man. It's bad when I'm at an age now where apparently missing out on a few hours sleep is worse than a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
When did I get this old? Someone tell me. Just give me an idea.
I'm sure it's in the past podcast episode. Somebody will look it up and tell us when we started complaining about being old.
Episode one. I'm pretty sure. Episode fucking one. So how can haunts use it? Well, one thing you pointed out mm-hmm. was that you can use a lot of the same warm-up techniques on your crew.
Well, so...
Okay, go ahead.
So haunts already warm up their crew and their actors together.
Mm-hmm.
You get pumped. You do chants. You do games. Why not do that with your customers
mm-hmm.
while they're waiting in line? If you don't have a big midway or a lot of room, why not say, you know, play Marco Polo with the monsters? Why? You know, just do something that gets everybody involved. This is something that actually recently the mortuary started doing with the countdown clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because they lead you in a countdown. And yeah, it's a really...
That's how they space the groups.
Yeah, it's a really small thing, but it gets the whole group excited for going in.
Because everyone's supposed to go 10, 9, all the way to 1. And yeah, that's a cool thing to do. I also think having that level of interactivity, if you have a stage set up, mm-hmm. like I'm thinking of like the setup that exists at Terror on the Coast.
Uh-huh.
Where they have a big, huge queue line with a stage.
Right.
And last time we were there, they had that
burlesque troupe
that nobody could see because of the way they were lit. I mean, I don't understand what the fuck they were thinking. But basically, you could have someone there interacting with the crowd using a lot of these techniques to engage the crowd. I mean, literally, you could have someone up there saying, "How's everyone doing? We got to go over the rules. I know, rules suck. You know, say screw the rules."
Exactly.
But we got to go through the rules. And you can use the same technique that Shadowcaster used to explain the rules to explain the haunt rules.
Mm-hmm.
And do this in an interactive way and do this in an engaging way that people actually pay the fuck attention to. Because, hey, we have a rules banner. Mm-hmm. We're getting a new one, but I still think we have a very good rules banner. But I'll tell you this. Nothing makes a person's eyes either glaze over faster or ping pong to something else than seeing a rules banner.
Yeah, nobody wants to follow the rules.
No one wants to read the rules.
Yeah.
They might want to follow them, but they don't want to read them or engage with them.
That is true. So maybe even split up the crowd to the left and the right side of the person given the instructions.
Yeah.
And the ones on one side get, I don't know, spiders thrown at them. Fake ones, obviously, but who knows? Little keepsakes.
Yeah, but you can do a lot with this. I was sitting there. In fact, this was something I was actually thinking about while we were there last night. Was at least I'm getting the rules, and I'm not hating the fact I'm being told the rules.
Exactly.
I'm actually not upset about it. Anyway, I mean, I'm not usually anyway. I'm mm-hmm. pretty big rule guy, but you know, but still,
yeah.
I'm actually enjoying learning about the rules. I think that's one thing that haunts could definitely do, especially while customers are in the queue line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also, and I put this in here randomly. I know, I'm sorry, but I would give an instruction for inside the house. This was something we saw in the Shadow Cast last night. If you saw certain people come on stage, you were supposed to either shout or throw part of the prop bag at that person.
I'm not throw the whole prop bag at once. Don't do that.
No. Don't do that.
Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
And don't give your customers things to throw at your actors. That's a bad idea also. But you could say, hey, if you see a clown in there, shout red balloon at them.
Yeah.
And you could either not have clowns in there. That gives that gives their brain something to look for. So if they're looking for that and they're following that instruction.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty brilliant.
Their brain's focused on that.
Did you puff on the Muse's juice? Yeah. That is a reference no one's going to get. I just realized, like, nobody other than Crystal will get. Watch Crapopolis, people. It's fun.
Yeah. But anyway, because if you focus your brain on something, we just talked about how brain works a few
brains episodes. Be dumb.
Exactly. So if it's spending cycles on this fucking clown, it's going to be really easy to scare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, you know, but of course you can actually have the clowns in there too. But once again, that's just getting them focused and trying to do something. And yeah, even after they do it, you could say every time something happens.
Yeah.
This is your call out.
Yeah.
This is your interactivity. And then if whoever is, you know, the clown, they actually do the call out correctly and remember to do it, throw them a toy spider or something.
Or
you got me thinking on spiders now.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Your fault. I blame you.
Be a little plastic.
It's your fault. You're to blame.
Little plastic ring or something. Because clowns, little flowers, I don't know. Anyway, but you could come up with something special that clown does for the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moving on.
Moving on, yeah. do remember, and this is something we're going to bring back up in just a second, but if you do anything in this that shows a movie or a significant part of a movie, please license it. We're not going to talk much about how to license it in this episode because that is a really complicated question. I started looking into it, hoping I could give a brief guide and just realized this is way too much for like the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So we'll if there's interest in that, if you want to know how to license movies to show in your haunt, we will go into it for you, but yeah, there's a lot of variables you have to account for, like how you're showing the movie, are you selling tickets to the film, etc. So not the space for it here, but if you're interested, hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly@x, whatever, let us know. All right, moving on.
All right. So another thing that you could do is have your crew form a shadow cast if anybody's interested and support them with the props.
Yeah.
The prop builds, the makeup, the costuming. And what this does is it gets your haunted house name everywhere all year round.
Yeah. Do a bi-monthly shadow cast of something. And like I said, if you're in a population center, you almost certainly have a movie theater that does this kind of thing. We have the Britannia. And we also now have another theater, too. The one in St. Bernard Parish.
Broad Street.
Oh, yeah. Broad Street does, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not in St. Bernard. I was thinking the Zeitgeist, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, so there are also little, like, art house theaters that do
basically, you can find a theater that would take you on as a shadow cast.
Yeah, we actually went to a small performance area in the back of a bar.
Yeah.
That's where we saw this. So you could get it with local things and like meet it up. And I would say don't do this at your haunted house.
Yeah.
If you have other options. And the reason is that you're reaching a different audience than you normally would.
Well, but, that and haunts typically aren't in the best locations for this kind of thing.
Yeah, because this can be done in the center of town. It's going to reach people who are interested in haunty things. Or spooky things, because most shadow casts go along with a spooky movie.
Like the Room, the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some horror there.
There is some, like breast cancer.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say about it, because that's all the movie said about it.
Jesus Christ. Yes. But anyway, so you're reaching a new audience, you're in new areas, you're getting your name out there year-round.
And also, if you're doing it somewhere else, you don't have to handle the movie licensing, the theater does.
Exactly. So, that's also a bonus for doing it elsewhere.
But, if you can't do that, if that's not practical, or if there's not enough interest, honestly, if you're a haunter, or a haunt, whether you're a haunt owner, actor, or aficionado, I'm going to encourage you to go to some shadow casts.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see and learn techniques that will help you engage and interact with people. And you'll also see excellent examples and possibly some terrible examples of people thinking on their feet.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, when the repo one, there's a scene where Shiloh is tapping on a publication, and literally the newspaper prop they had just fucking disintegrated in their poor hands.
It did.
And it was, A, hilarious.
Uh-huh.
B, and I say hilarious because they laughed about it too. Nobody was upset and taking this seriously, but they improvised with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious, and it was great. So you'll see some improv, and you'll see some good and bad, that type of thing. And it helps you see how performers think on their feet when shit either goes wrong or goes right, but in an unexpected way.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, when things don't happen to plan, because what do we look like? People with plans?
Yeah, well, and not only that, but you don't know what the audience is going to do.
Yeah.
And the performers have to respond somewhat to the audience and how, you know, so if somebody makes a really funny call out, the cast members can't just bust out laughing. They're performing.
Yeah, I remember when we went to the Rocky Horror Show, this wasn't a shadow guest, it was actually a theatrical performance of it.
Yeah.
But they encouraged call outs. They said,
They did.
And me, you, and Ellie, I mean, you and I have South Carolina call outs. And then we moved to Louisiana. Did you ever go to Rocky Horror, South Carolina?
No.
That was just me.
Yeah, it was just you.
There wasn't a lot of overlap between us and South Carolina, so that doesn't shock me. But no. So basically, we had call-outs from all over the country.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I find interesting is how different regions have different call-outs they seem to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we were throwing stuff out that was completely new to this crew. And watching them struggle not to laugh was actually part of the fun of it. Because their poor Frankenfurter was kept nearly losing it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that was a really fun experience, too. Highly recommend it.
10 out of 10 would do again.
Yeah. Yeah. And small theater troupes are often good to get in with for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but honestly, I would just go to some Shadowcast if you've never been. I'm pretty sure that the Venn diagram of people who have been to a Shadowcast thing and the people who are haunters is just one circle inside a bigger circle.
Yeah.
But there may be some overlap in people who haven't made it, because a lot of people who are in haunters aren't necessarily like to be in crowded situations. So they might not have thought this would be something they would enjoy. It is something you'll enjoy. I hate being in crowded situations too.
Yeah.
So please consider it. Like, I won't go to my bar if there's a band playing.
No, but we go to one of these, and it was a small venue. That was probably 50 people there.
I think it was a little bit more than that, but it was very full for the space they had, though, was the main thing.
Exactly. And you could tell who was fast on their feet in the crowd, who was fast on their feet on stage, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good place to try to recruit from, too. Or if you're having events at your haunt, to advertise at those same places that these shows are performing.
Yeah.
Because they've got your audience.
And oftentimes, if they have a playbill or something like that, you can actually buy advertising in that very cheap.
Yeah.
Be a sponsor of one if you can't have your own Shadowcast. You
exactly.
can contribute and be a sponsor. So there's a lot here. Like I said, if you're a haunter and you haven't done this, I really do think you need to at least do it a couple of times. Like I said, to see the interactivity, see how they get the audience to participate so much and understand kind of the concept of it and find ways that you can apply that in your craft, whatever you're doing inside the haunt, ways you can bring that in. So, yeah, this is an experience I think is well worth it for haunters. If you haven't done it, like I said, I'm pretty sure the Venn diagram is just one circle inside another circle. But, please definitely take the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's all we have.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. And thank you for your patience over the past couple of weeks as we have been struggling with timeliness for various reasons.
Yeah.
Once again, we are going to be step grandparents come November. Once again, please not in October. Please not in October. But yes. But if you want to see more Haunt Weekly or listen to more Haunt Weekly, there ain't much to see for most of these. Please check us out, hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, and youtube.com/Haunt Weekly. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you all next week.